From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes. A Massachusetts company is sending genetically modified salmon to dinner tables in the U.S. for the first time. Aqua Bounty Technologies says it's shipping 5 tons of bioengineered salmon to distributors this month. It's marketed as a sustainable alternative to other kinds of salmon, but Aqua Bounty's fish hasn't received the warmest reception in Alaska, where it's often called frankenfish. KDLL's Sabine Pooks has more.
Tim Bristol of Homer is the director of Salmon State, an Alaska organization that defends wild salmon populations.
It's going to be a real challenge for us moving forward to make sure that we do everything we possibly can to educate the American and the international consumer that if you want the salmon that's best for you and supports communities and small family businesses, you need to choose wild Alaska salmon.
Aqua Bounty salmon is a genetic mixture of 3 different fish: Atlantic salmon, Chinook salmon, and the eel-like ocean pout. It grows twice as fast as its non-engineered counterparts, reaching full market size in 18 months. This is the first time a company has sold genetically engineered salmon in the U.S. Federal regulators ruled the salmon safe to eat and sell in 2015, but for a while, Aqua Bounty still didn't have permission to grow its salmon in the U.S. Instead, it was working out of facilities in Canada and Panama. That was until 2019. The latest batch of salmon headed to market in the U.S. comes from a facility in Albany, Indiana. The FDA says Aqua Bounty's fish are similar nutritionally to non-engineered, farm-raised Atlantic salmon. Aqua Bounty says its fish could help mitigate overfishing and that they create less pollution than farmed fish. Not everyone's convinced.
It's just a faster way of doing business and making money.
Sarah Erickson owns Alaskans in Soldotna. She's also a vocal opponent of fish farming and a former commercial fisherman.
They have a picture of a regular farm salmon and then their farm salmon. And it looks just like a giant. I mean, what's the point of that?
A big concern for environmental groups has been whether fish can escape from the facility and mate with wild salmon. Late last year, a federal judge ordered the FDA to look into what would happen if that occurred. Aqua Bounty says there's no risk of that happening since it grows sterile salmon in inland-based tanks with multiple barriers to prevent fish and eggs from escaping. Erickson says that's one good thing that sets Aqua Bounty salmon apart from other farmed salmon.
And I appreciate that. In fact, all fish farming should really go to that kind of place, but it's a lot more expensive to do.
Erickson says salmon should be clearly labeled in stores so people know what they're buying. Federal law currently requires GMOs to be labeled as such, but that doesn't just have to be through wording. A QR code scanned with a smartphone also suffices. And there are some exceptions to USDA's current labeling law. Food served in restaurants, for example, doesn't have to be labeled. Labeling is voluntary in Canada, where Aqua Bounty previously sold its salmon. Senator Lisa Murkowski has been a vocal opponent of genetically engineered salmon. Legislation she introduced this month would require the words genetically engineered to appear on bioengineered salmon in stores. It's called the Genetically Engineered Salmon Labeling Act. Senator Dan Sullivan is a co-sponsor.
It would be a level of consumer awareness, because it is only when we are aware of what is being sold, what is being put in front of us, that we can say firmly and clearly, nope. Don't want this on my table.
A spokesperson from Aqua Bounty says the company will use the phrase genetically engineered on grocery store packaging. Several grocery chains have pledged not to sell genetically modified salmon, including Safeway and Kroger, which owns Fred Meyer. Bristol says he hasn't heard of any Alaska businesses interested in buying the product.
We have seen Alaskan stores carry farm-raised Atlantic salmon in the past, and usually the blowback is pretty significant and comes pretty quickly.
The Aqua Bounty spokesperson says the company isn't shipping any salmon to Alaska yet. With help from Izzy Ross in Dillingham, I'm Sabine Pooks in Kenai.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, reliably delivering for Kodiak since 1964.
U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski visited Dillingham last week. She said the primary reason for her visit was to gather ideas for permanent protections against developments like the proposed Pebble Mine. Murkowski once chaired the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee and has historically supported resource development. For years, she declined to support or oppose Pebble, saying that it was important to wait for the federal permitting process to play out. As the Army Corps of Engineers neared its final permit decision last year, and undercover tapes emerged of Pebble leaders doubting she'd take a stand against the project, Murkowski did just that. In Dillingham, Murkowski met with people from the commercial, subsistence, and recreational fisheries. She also held a closed meeting with select community leaders at the Dillingham Middle/High School.
This is kind of the beginning of stakeholder engagements and meetings, and we will be continuing this throughout the process.
Murkowski said the best way to ensure long-term protections is for Congress to pass a law. In the past, groups that opposed Pebble have pushed for a preemptive veto from the Environmental Protection Agency.
That clearly is a tool that provides for a level of protection. But it doesn't necessarily ensure that any entity coming beyond the Pebble proposal would be prohibited from mining activity. And so if that's what is being sought, it's legislation.
Earlier this year, regional and statewide groups opposed to Pebble put forward several options for protecting the area. One was to create a national fisheries area, which would bypass the need for a state designation. Murkowski said possibilities include the federal government obtaining state land. That would give the feds the authority to protect that land from any future development.
There have been discussions about whether it's exchanges or ways that you can ensure that the mineral rights that currently exist with the state are exchanged, are conveyed. So these are the types of things that we are exploring at this point in time.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans, on the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, which recognizes the importance of Alaska's sustainable fisheries to the state's economy.
The Alaska Native Village Corporation of Pedro Bay has agreed to conservation easements on land it owns around Iliamna Lake. The agreement is heralded as a way to preserve habitat for Bristol Bay salmon. It would also block the route that Pebble Partnership wants for transporting ore from its proposed mine. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
More than 90% of Pedro Bay shareholders have agreed to the plan. It calls for a national environmental group, the Conservation Fund, to buy easements on 44,000 acres. In return for restrictions on its property rights, Pedro Bay Corporation, with roughly 200 shareholders, would receive nearly $19 million.
I see that as something that needs to be protected, that whole area, because we live in such a pristine place.
Carla Jensen is one of the Pedro Bay shareholders who approved the plan. She says her community thrives on its land.
And the threat of Pebble, you know, sitting there watching this year after year with this threat hanging over our heads that they may come through Pedro Bay. This is where our road's going to go, you know. It was really scary for us. It was really scary for me.
The land covered by the easements includes part of the Northern Corridor that Pebble Limited Partnership proposed to bring ore from the mine to a port on Cook Inlet. In November, the Army Corps of Engineers rejected Pebble's permit application. Pebble Partnership is working on its administrative appeal of that decision, and a Pebble spokesman said the announcement of the easement doesn't change the company's focus. Larry Selzer, CEO of the Conservation Fund, says his group got involved in the region years ago to protect salmon habitat. Selzer says the possibility of a mine and a mining road focused their priority on particular lands.
And obviously, the Iliamna Lake region, the salmon values, the ecological values are of extremely high importance, but also the threat was real.
It's up to the Conservation Fund to now raise the money to pay for the easements. Selzer says the challenge is made easier by the years-long campaign to stop Pebble, which brought images of the area to the world.
The fact that this has been in the public eye for decades and the threat from the Pebble mine has been a proximate issue for decades drives the visibility that we hope will translate into significant fundraising.
The easements would restrict industrial-scale developments, but not all economic activity. The Bristol Bay Heritage Land Trust would manage the easement. Its director, Tim Troll, says subsistence, cultural activities, and tourism would still be allowed.
There are some limitations on what they can construct. We're not looking at huge buildings. But as long as it's consistent with the overall purposes of the easement, then it's okay.
Blocking Pebble's northern corridor doesn't necessarily kill the mine. It's not the only way to bring the ore out, but it's the one federal regulators said would be the least damaging. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Thanks this week to KDLL's Sabine Pooks, KDLG's Izzy Ross, and Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin. Good fishing, everybody.